Well, how? But where are? Put down. You're recording. You're using the laptop.
No, I'm using my computer. I have my headset plugged into the computer.
Oh, you just. Oh, the couch in the computer room.
Uh huh.
I thought you were going into the.
Thought I did a reach around.
Yeah. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero. I can't drink, or else I might do something suicidal.
Come on now.
It wasn't quite the 2014 season opener that we've been planning for all off season. The Saints defense seemed about as effective as a wet paper towel, while the offense committed the cardinal sin too many times. Of course, that being turning the ball over. Losing's bad enough, but losing to the Falcons, a team that you just know you're better than on all levels, makes it sting the nostrils that much more. We're going to talk through it, and hopefully that'll provide some therapeutic relief to ourselves and to you, and hopefully we'll come out on the other end of this podcast looking forward to next week putting this one behind us. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy as much of the show as you can. Jason, welcome to the show. Do you have a number?
I got a small number, just a one and a half. Drink a glass of wine. Take it easy. Just trying to keep it, because I knew you two were going to come in with zeros. I had to get a little something.
Yeah.
We can't have two straight shows where we're all just flat zero.
Well, maybe that's why they lost. We should be drinking more.
We fucked it up, man. It's our fault.
I think it's more than that. Damon, welcome to the show. No number?
Nope. Thank you.
All right. I guess I don't know what music you're going to play, if you're going to stick to the old theme, but it just doesn't feel fitting. But anyway, game recap. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? So the Saints open the game, make a drive, penalty stalls it, field goal, right? Then we stop them. Second drive, we go down, we stall again, field goal, but it looks like we might be on the right track. Falcons then drive all the way down, and they would have scored if not for the fumble recovered by Corey White in the end zone, which led to a Saints drive for a touchdown. So, all of a sudden, we're dominating, everything's on track. Then the Falcons answer with an 18-play drive for a touchdown, overcoming several setbacks, including pass interference on Corey White. Saints answer that with a touchdown, so that's fine. Falcons then drive to close out the first half in 16 seconds to kick a field goal. But the problem is they came out of halftime, get the ball back, scored a touchdown, followed by a Saints stall. And then, fortunately, the Falcons stalled. And then the Saints drive. But this time, instead of the touchdown, that's when Drew Brees threw the interception, which we'll talk about in a minute. Five plays later, this jerk-off is breaking tackles for 54 yards and a touchdown. And I think that's when the game momentum finally switched, you would think. But the Saints came back and answered with a touchdown drive. Falcons respond with a punt. Saints' opportunity is to steal the game, or seal the game, I should say, but they go three and out, and there's when our fate might have been sealed, because the Falcons follow that three and out with a touchdown, but the Saints answer with another touchdown, up by three. Falcons again with the half of the game closing drive, minute and 20 seconds, kicking the tying field goal, and we know what happened after that.
It looks like Tessa d'Urbervilles all over again.
Yeah, we just couldn't seem to put it away. We had an answer for everything, but we couldn't put it away. So, where do you want to start?
You want to get the good out the way?
Yes, Ingram had 4.6 yards per carry.
Two touchdowns. The offense played fine. Drew did throw the pick, but Cooks had a fantastic performance, and, I mean, Colston. But the offense seemed to move the ball pretty much at will. Now, they did kind of stall out a couple times, one with a penalty. The interception, tried to force it in, but I mean, they moved the ball at will. So,
look, I think I had done it, and I had texted y'all earlier that, you know, Sunday morning. I had bought into the hype. I had bought into the Super Bowl hype. We're going to be 14-2. And that's why I felt so disappointed after the game. Now, look, luckily for us, they do not award the Lombardi Trophy in September, and we will be fine. We will be a double-digit win team. We will be there at the end. We will get better. It's hard not to get better on defense, given up 500-plus yards. You know, a couple of problems I had with that. You said you would talk about the pick. I'll throw my two cents in now. On that play, Jimmy Graham wasn't in there.
In my Which play? Opinion, the interception?
The interception in the end zone.
Yeah.
In my opinion, watching that play, Jimmy Graham boxes that guy out and goes after the football. This isn't a knock on Cooks, but he's a smaller, faster player. And I'll use a dreaded word in the NFL, finesse. I don't know how much he really fights for the ball. I haven't seen enough film on him to know. All right? But I do know the 6'8", 300-pound, I think 270, Jimmy Graham, he'll get in there and put his body and fight for the ball. I think that would have been a better play for Graham personally.
Not only Perhaps, that, but didn't it look like that was a ball that never should have been thrown? I mean, the guy was between Cooks and Brees the whole time. I know Brees can thread a needle, but, man... That one looks
tight,
like,
but you know, look, he's going to make decisions, and look, it's hard for me to nitpick the offense in this game.
True.
Yes, was it a mistake? Sure, every interception is a mistake, but interceptions are going to happen. Can't avoid it. The offense played well enough to win this game.
Really? Because Matt Ryan didn't throw an interception.
Well, have you seen our cornerbacks? I mean,
well, you what surprised me, and I heard this after the game, that we had only four cornerbacks active on the roster. And that's why they kept putting a linebacker on Devin Hester. And Atlanta took advantage of that in the second half.
Yeah, he ended up with five catches for 99 yards.
I'll bet you four of them came in the second half, if not all five.
Well, and a lot of plays, too, it seemed like. I mean, we had the safeties were playing so deep, and the... You know, the backs were kind of just letting them slip behind them. I mean, they were getting 15 and 20 yards just right in between them.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of cover, a lot of cover too. You know, a lot of zone cover too.
Just if you look at how far back Jairus Byrd was playing.
Oh, you mean Jaybird?
Yeah, how far back Jaybird was playing. And now, if you listen to WWL postgame, which I had to because I was driving back. Somebody called in and talked about that, and Bobby said that's you know, they were saying, oh, he was playing so far back, that's what gave them that area where Matt Ryan was able to throw like 13 to 15-yard passes every time he threw the ball. But that cushion is also what allows him to play sideline to sideline, Jaybird, that is. And that's what leads to a lot of his turnovers. So is it that, you know, you just, that's something we're just going to have to deal with all year? Is that it's a high risk, high reward situation?
God, I hope not. I wasn't sold out when we got him. You know. And look, we hate to do it, but this Atlanta team is a team who 366 days ago, you know, was coming off of a 12-13 win season, made it to the NFC Championship. They are a good team. They have good receivers when healthy. And Matt Ryan, besides shitting his pants on the field, is a good quarterback. He's not elite. He's not Drew Brees, but he's second tier quarterback after Brady, Brees, Manning, and Rodgers. Matt Ryan is that second tier.
So are you saying little brother earned your respect yesterday?
Fuck respect. We just
It's just the truth. I mean, it is what it is.
Look, they do have talent on that team. It's not like they're the Raiders.
Right. They have a shitty head coach.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you see how fucking excited he was? If that wasn't their Super Bowl, I don't know what was. Who
texted you all that morning?
You did.
Right. And the owner, too. The owner is putting his hands up in the air like he'd won the Super Bowl.
I know. This game was circled on their calendar more than it was circled on ours, for sure.
Right. Not saying that as an organization, the Saints don't get up for it and want to beat Atlanta's division, etc. But this... For Atlanta, look, they threw everything they had at us, and we still had to. I hate to say that, you know, that we
had to give it away,
but we sure didn't play our best football.
Yeah, objectively, they beat us. We didn't hand it over to them. They beat us. They beat us.
They came up
with the game plan. They created the mismatches that they needed to do. They adjusted the second half.
We also didn't give them any favors with all the fucking missed tackles we had.
Well, I'm wondering if they put butter on their legs or baby oil or something for us to slip as much as we did.
just a terrible – I mean, you never – you know, like all these guys had missed tackles, and you go back to last year and – I mean, just totally – I mean, this is just totally out of whack. I mean, I honestly don't know how to explain it. I don't know. I just don't know – What happened, why it was so bad.
And where was Kenny Vaccaro? I mean, he only had four tackles the whole game.
Right, because he missed about three or four or five. Just completely whiffed, just tackled air.
Is it because they are not...
I don't know what...
I caught Keenan Lewis diving for legs about at least three times, and I hate that. I hate that with a passion. I'd rather see somebody wrap up and throw somebody to the ground. But there was a lot of diving at them instead. I don't know. Lofton led the team with seven tackles, and he left halfway through.
Well, he came back, though.
Oh, did he? Okay, I didn't catch him.
But still, just not a... I mean,
Akeem Hicks, two tackles. Cam Jordan, one tackle.
We only had one sack on them. Gallette got a decent amount of pressure, couldn't get the sacks, but Jordan and Hicks did basically nothing. So I don't know if it was...
And what's worse is, was it Cam Jordan that was being double-teamed?
I don't know.
I think Cam Jordan was being double-teamed all game. So where's Hicks and Gallette? Or Gallette was being double-teamed in the Cam and... Basically, two of those guys, with one of them being double-teamed the whole game, the other two should have gotten free at least a couple times.
Especially after Jake Matthews got hurt. So then they decided, you know, they had to double team. They were using an extra guy to chip on Gallette.
Mm-hmm.
But right, I mean, with the suspect offensive line and they lose their starting left tackle, and just to not get any more than just one sack, it's incredibly
disappointing. And then the sack comes, at, you know, from a relief player, you know?
Yeah, Tyron Walker.
Yeah, well, look, they're...
It sucks that it's the Falcons. It just sucks that it's the Falcons.
It sucked that it's the Falcons. If it would have been anybody, if it had been Cleveland... If we'd have won this week, you know, and then lost next, it'd have been easier to swap.
Yeah. Right, because it's them.
Atlanta's a better team than Cleveland.
Yeah, it sucks because you don't want them or their fans to be happy.
Exactly. I don't want them any joy whatsoever.
I mean, it really, that's a big part of it. I don't want them to ever say they beat us.
Right. I want them to have Suicide Watch in Atlanta 24/7.
I think part of it, too, is the as much shit as we've talked on and this show. Whatever. I mean, we just have to eat our shit at this point. I don't like it.
We have to eat shit.
It doesn't taste good, does it?
No.
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
568 yards. Did we ever let up 568 total yards allowed?
I think we have one other time in our
history.
In our history, yeah. Now, Atlanta set franchise records for yards and passing yards.
Well, good for them. For a while there, I thought it was going to be 27-24 at the end, which is with the score that I predicted.
Nope. Defenses are too poor.
Yeah. God, what is the deal with the defense? I mean, should we be concerned? What is the moves we made this offseason that it's all about was about making a good defense better?
It's too early to panic.
I know, but that's different than just, oh, the defense let up a game-winning touchdown. The defense wasn't there at all.
It wasn't.
Well, again, it was halftime adjustments. I mean, again, the defense stopped them early. Having only four quarters.
They stopped them once early, Damon.
Then another with a fumble.
The first drive is the only time they stopped them. The other time, remember, the Falcons' second drive, they would have scored a touchdown if he doesn't fumble the ball.
Yeah.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Like Cam Jordan said in his post-game interview, we're going to get this fixed because and good thing it happened now early in the year because we know we don't ever want to feel like this again.
I mean, just play an average defense and you win the game.
That makes it even worse. Fuck.
Just play a little bit of average defense.
You know, you're right. One stop.
Yeah, that's all he needed, with one stop. And it just sucks to have Colston be the one guy who fumbles.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
He's been so...
Did y'all see him? Someone was trying to console him on the sideline.
Yeah.
And he pushed their hand away. He was upset with himself.
Mm-hmm. He threw his helmet. That's not...
Yeah,
him.
Right. Yeah, he was showing emotion. Yeah. That's the only, you know... Then did y'all notice on that drive where we needed a touchdown, did you see all the... What players were being used? It was Colston, Thomas, and Graham.
Big guys.
It was main guys, solid veteran guys. You know who you can count on.
Remember that Ingram had a couple runs and.
No, but I'm talking about that final drive.
Okay.
Where we scored.
I mean, Pierre got a lot of touches in the game.
He
a lot
did.
Of touches. All he does is turn nothing into something. That's all he does.
I know. You saw those third down conversions. Drew Brees throwing it like 7 yards behind the first down, and Pierre Thomas still gets it.
Well, he's awesome.
Brandon Cooks, y'all want to isolate him, talk about highlights. What a great game for his first NFL debut.
Yeah, bust-out game. A bunch of catches, had a nice run in there. Definitely benefited from Stills being out.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
But, look, they showed confidence going to him.
Yeah, he had 7 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. And the reverse for 18 yards.
I like that. Push. I can. Last time we ran a reverse, was that with our tight end and
like our third string tight end? That's right. Our tight end. Our third.
Okay,
string.
So thank goodness Sean Payton has someone to run a reverse because he can't help himself. He must call a reverse.
I got a wake up call for both you motherfuckers. Just call the little reverse action. Check it out.
Speaking of, how about him and those hipster glasses he's wearing now?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how hip they are, but yeah.
Yeah, well, he really went with the thick frames, didn't he?
A little bit. It was awkward at first. Just a little jarring.
It was.
He didn't wear them in preseason, did he?
Nope.
Thank you.
We'll see if he wears them again next week.
Oh, I think he might need to get some different ones. Actually, or maybe he needs to get Rob Ryan a pair.
Yeah, right. Get him something.
Maybe that's what it was. Rob Ryan was calling the wrong plays because he couldn't see the play sheet. He did hit the play sheet a couple of times during the game. What's wrong with this thing? It's not working. All right. Y'all ready? Y'all done with game recap? Or you want to talk a little more about this? It may come out naturally.
I guess I'm ready. Yeah, obviously disappointed, but I'm not. You know, this team's still good. Just definitely can't play. Obviously can't play this bad again.
No, like I said, I think it was a historical bad day for the defense. I don't see us playing this bad again. And that's one loss. I mean, we could still be 15-1 at the end of the year. The season's not over, and we're going to be in the playoffs. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, if you come out of this, remember, we divide the season up into quarters, and if we still can come out of this 3-1, and we're right back where we need to be.
Exactly.
I mean, you might have even considered 3-1 anyway. It's just this happens to be the one. So, you know, we could have been 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1. You know, it doesn't matter.
Good thing we have 15 more of these, huh?
I know. And this will be the only sad one. All right, moving along, it's tweets from the Twitter thing. All right, so we got our first tweet from Hungry Hoodat.
Hungry Hungry Hoodat or just Hungry Hoodat?
Hungry _ Hoodat. All right, so he said he's got the John Goodman from The Big Lebowski as his Twitter avatar. Pretty cool. Anyway, he says, would Harvey Levin causing Goodell to get fired be ultimate payback? And what the fuck happened yesterday with the D? So let's not talk about the first question because we'll actually get to that in NFL reach around. But, I mean, did we go on more with the D? I think we pretty much covered that one, too.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
So, I mean, we did talk about it already, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think answered.
All right, so skipping tweets from the Twitter thing, we're going to go right into NFL Reach Around. Okay, so obviously the big story that everyone is talking about involves a little bit of violence that may not be appropriate for some people, but yesterday Antonio Brown kicked the Browns punter in the face.
I thought it was awesome.
I'm not sure if he should get fined. I don't think he kicked. I mean,
he did kind of kick him in the head.
He did kick him in the head, but do you think he was aiming for his head? I mean, I don't think he
was. What else was there? I mean,
he was jumping. The guy was in front of him. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, like, I don't fault him. I think that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty badass kick, though.
More power to Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's already got the Karate Kid remix on the YouTube or some sort of a...
The internet?
On the internet, yeah.
It doesn't matter. People can find it if they want.
Just search YouTube for Steelers Antonio Brown crane kick.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know that it would, you know, it wasn't like an Ndamukong Suh stomping on the guy's head.
No, I mean, I'm sure part of it wasn't, like, he didn't set out to intentionally kick him in the face. But when he saw the opportunity, take it.
Hey, it worked out. He didn't injure himself. It looked cool.
I'm sure that Goodell will ultimately suspend their head coach for a year, their GM for half a year, and him indefinitely.
Actually, old Goodell might not be in position to do any of that.
That's right, because that leads us to the real reach around. You see what I did in that at the beginning. Today, TMZ released the Ray Rice elevator video where Ray Rice punches his wife in the face, not once but twice, right? Knocking her out in the second hit, and then immediately after that, or really quickly after that, the Ravens cut him, and then a little while after that, the NFL decides to suspend him indefinitely, sparking more conversation about that than any of the games that came on yesterday.
Why don't y'all go ahead and give me your all opinions first, and I'll...
Well, it's pretty wild, because then... So the NFL, when the NFL suspends him, then they say, well, you know, we never saw the video. The NFL came out and said, we never saw the video. Despite the fact that several reporters, including Peter King, in July, wrote about people that somebody in the NFL office had seen the video, basically justifying the suspension. So then the NFL comes out and said they didn't see it, so somebody's lying here. So then King comes out and writes and basically falls on the sword to the NFL and says he had a lapse in judgment. I mean, fucking fat piece of shit.
Well, here's the NFL made their decision. Seeing the video or not, okay, we might not have seen the elevator video, but we saw him drag her out the elevator, passed out. What did you think happened? I mean, you know, yeah, watching the video is hard, you know, is startling.
Well, she could have been drunk and passed out.
No. When the NFL reviewed and suspended him, everybody knew he hit her. Nobody. He never tried to say he was drunk. I mean, he was drunk. The NFL.
Okay, so yeah. What does seeing it change?
Exactly. What does seeing it change? That's my point. All right. Now, I did see, and this was this morning, before any of the cuts or blah blah blah. They reported what someone had spoken to a player on the Ravens, and the guy said, Rice has no support on this team anymore. But what this is, unfortunately, it's like a lynch mob. Social media is like a lynch mob. All right, and I'm talking about back in the old West, you know, when someone's convicted of a crime and he's sitting in jail about to be hung, but a posse forms and goes storms the jail to get him and demand justice.
And hang him before, yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, this guy, that kind of lynch mob.
Kind of like the opening scene of the HBO series Deadwood.
Correct. So, what Rice did was horrible and horrific, but the actions taken today by the NFL and the Ravens are...
Too much too late?
Yeah, kind of. Too much too late. Because they are reacting to the social outcry.
But here's the thing. They're saying they never saw anything. They knew they knew exactly what happened and still made their piss poor decision.
That's the point.
It's a terrible decision.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, the NFL fucked up big time here. And yeah, the lynch mob's going after them, but you know what? They deserve it, because this isn't the first time that Goodell has bumbled shit.
But no, Jason. But the lynch mob's going after Ray Rice, not Goodell.
Well.
Hang Ray Rice, rah. And so Goodell, you know, you can't. I don't care if it's the President of the United States or the head of a household. You can't lead by mob rule, okay? And that's what the NFL is doing here. Totally.
What he always does.
But no, that's not what I'm saying, but I mean, you know, other NBA did it too with Sterling. I mean, it happens in other.
Well, it doesn't make it right. No, but that is a new phenomenon in the age we're living in with Twitter and social media and Facebook and all that other jazz. And if you're
it's because they sweep these things. They're using pre-social media PR tactics in the beginning and thinking, oh, we can deny seeing the video, it'll never come out. Boy, that's so old school nowadays. You bottom line is, if there's a video of something, you gotta assume it's gonna come out.
But again, I don't need to see the video.
But the point is, they make all these decisions. Oh, they deny seeing the video, and they do this light sentencing, and they say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm going to try not to get on the soapbox about what he did, how contradictory this is, and how buffoonish it is in comparison to what he did with the Saints, which didn't do anything, and he had no proof of. at least the Saints didn't punch any women, and yet we get the death penalty when it comes to suspensions, and the worst suspension in sports history. But okay, back to this. Okay, so
Jesus,
I know. I just wanted to make a point to say, like, look at this guy's track record.
Well,
but they come in, they deny, they say it never happened. It's this pre-social media PR tactics. Nowadays, I agree with you, Damon. You have to take a stand and say, this is what we are about. This is our integrity. This is what it is. If you got a guy who admits to punching a woman, his wife in this case, but punching a woman, knocking her out, and all you give him is a 2-game suspension, it doesn't matter what the people think or anything else. You're basically saying this is how we feel about this type of crime. Then you wait until there's an outcry, and then you do something. You've lost all credibility. You've lost all of your integrity. And here's the worst of it all. You think anybody's going to care by next Sunday? It's going to be all about the games all over again.
I don't know that this is going to go away that
quickly. Are you going to quit watching football?
I'm not going to quit watching football.
Hold on.
But that's not...
What are you watching right now?
Stop. Okay. What Ray Rice did is horrible. Unfortunately, it goes on. It's going on somewhere right now. That's a different subject. If they want to, they have their policy in place now. It was too light in the beginning, what they gave Rice. But my point being is that this video changes nothing.
Right, no, but some people still question whether... I mean, when they said 2-game suspension, yeah, people think they may have hit her. It didn't... they didn't comprehend how bad it really was.
She was knocked out. Now, I don't know how many fights y'all have been in, and I've been in plenty. I've never been knocked out,
You're not a woman.
And
you've never been hit by Ray Rice.
Well, that's true.
But still, no, I mean, I've been hit hard, and fights are violent, and they're scary to people who don't get into them. But I knew what happened when he was dragging her unconscious, dead-like body out of the elevator. I knew what happened. Again, like I said earlier, watching the video, it's disturbing anytime you see violence. But it never... We knew what happened. We knew he had punched her in the elevator and knocked her out.
But, yeah, I mean, the other, like Jason said, though, seeing it made it real for a lot of people who, without seeing it, even though they know, it's like, I know how
outside,
sausage,
out of mind.
I know how hot dogs are made, and I know what's in them, but I still eat them. But if you take me to a hot dog factory and I see it, I might never eat a hot dog again.
It's just, and I didn't even, I mean, thinking about this whole situation, like, I'm not even thinking about the Rice end of it. I'm just more of the fact that, I mean, the NFL could be, obviously I think Goodell saw that video, but then lied about, they came out and lied that they had never seen the video. So either he's lying or a journalist is, multiple journalists are lying, and I think it's another huge blunder for this asshole. And I'm totally insensitive, not thinking about the women issue and beating women, which is obviously terrible, but...
Well, because that's nobody's going to debate that.
I'm just thinking, like, there's no way a billion-dollar NFL league can't get their hands on this type of footage.
But not even that. Like, nobody's going to debate the reason why everybody's talking more about more about this rather than the violence on women is, one, we're a football podcast, and nobody's going to debate the issue whether it's right or wrong what he did. It's wrong.
Well, yeah, 100%.
Now, the Roger Goodell decision-making... Here's why I don't think, a lot of people, he should resign or you should ask him to step down. I don't think, honestly, anything's going to come of that. And I think he's going to get by again. And it's because, no, I don't think there is enough people who will stop watching football because of this. They're
going to
cry out. They're going to get outraged. And then when next Sunday kickoff comes, they're all going to be tuned in watching their teams because...
They took our job!
They took our job!
They took our job!
They took our job!
They took your job!
They took your job!
They took your job!
They took our job!
They took your job!
They took your job!
They took our 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 job!
Pick a damn!
Pick a damn!
Pick a damn!
Pick a
They took her jib!
People are going to say it's terrible because it's violence against women, but they're not closely associated with it enough to really do anything about it. They're not doing anything about it.
No, but I don't think it's...
If you really care about it, quit watching football.
But I don't think it's... Well, I don't think
why should you punish...
yourself.
Why should you punish the other, let's say, you know, there's 1,600 roughly players in the league? I mean, why should you punish them because Ray Rice is an asshole?
Well, you're punishing Roger Goodell because you want him fired or you want him to step down. Why not boycott the NFL until Roger Goodell... If you really want Roger Goodell to step down, boycott the NFL until he's out.
The TV contracts are locked in. The salary cap's locked in. These players are getting paid no matter what. Whether we watch, you know, whether we go a couple of weeks without watching
right.
or not, I don't think it matters. But I don't think, like Damon said, in this era, you know, of all this media attention, I don't think this is something that they can just kick under the rug like they do everything else.
Well,
it doesn't take a lot to run a league like the NFL that's, you know, so far and away more popular over any other sport. But to have all these PR disasters that he's had, the way he's handled everything has just been terrible. And you have to think, even though the owners are making a lot of money, they could make a lot of money with somebody else in charge that isn't going to cause all this headache. I just don't
– yeah,
I think this
could
be the thing that finally gets him.
No, it won't, because he's come out and – no, it's a bullshit. And Roger Goodell is the perfect commissioner for this type of era because he is reactionary, you know.
That's not going to work.
But that's what people want nowadays. Again, that's what these Twitter mobs want. Oh, concussions, head concussions. Oh, fire the Saints because they did something, you know. Oh, Ray Rice. Oh, Ray Rice, Ray Rice. Oh, well,
rubble.
Right. Ray Rice. You know, came out a second time. You know, and how the fuck do they get to basically sentence him to double jeopardy? We'll sentence you once, but now there was so much uproar, we better sentence you again, or I might look bad.
Yeah. I hope nobody brings up the Saints 2009 season again, because I wouldn't want Sean Payton to get suspended again.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's bullshit, and it's not leadership, and that's Goodell's problem. He's reactionary. He tries to say, you know, whatever way the wind's blowing, that's what, you know, he's a liar.
He is a lion.
He's a lying piece of shit. It doesn't matter. Truth, evidence doesn't mean anything to him. I go back to your eyes. What the fuck did you think happened to her as he's dragging her dead body, her unconscious body, out of an elevator? And then Ray Rice is an idiot. I don't know. Did y'all watch the video today?
Oh, I watched a little bit of it, but
okay. He punched her there. She knocks out. The door opens. It closes. It opens again. He takes her out. If that was me and I had just fucked up, I'm hitting the fucking highest button on that fucking elevator. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting off at the 30th floor, not the lobby. You know, because perhaps at the 30th floor, ain't no one there looking at me going to ask me what the fuck happened. You know, I pull her out of there. Oh, shit. Hey, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not.
Well, when he did pull her out, here's what bothered me, too. When he did pull her out, he didn't pull her all the way out. Like, her legs were still kind of across the door. What if the doors would have closed?
I think they're safety mechanism.
Well, I know, but that's all. That's what all I thought about. I was like, dude, get your legs out. Clear the legs. Clear the door.
You're an NFL player. I'm pretty sure you can pick up a 125-pound woman.
Yeah,
you know,
like he was struggling.
He did. I mean, why don't you pick her up under the shoulders and the
knee? Yeah, he was probably drunk, too. I mean.
But again, yeah, I mean, he's just dumb in so many ways.
Did you say dumb in so many ways?
In so many ways. And again, yes, but the way the NFL did it, coming back to this punishment, because I have a problem with that. Was the punishment too light the first time? Yes.
Just the way they totally mishandled this whole thing.
This whole situation.
And then, like, this is part of a...
And then refucked.
Like, if he saw the video and tried to cover it up, like, how is... It's just insane. I mean, this is... Once all the facts come out, who knew
okay,
what?
Okay, Jason, did you want to say what you heard?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Well, it was on the news on Twitter that TMZ is going to release information tomorrow saying that, or proving that the NFL did know about the video before it came out, which means the NFL just blatantly lied to the whole world when they said they had not seen it.
When did they first, because right, like everyone else, I had heard, you know, reports that the NFL and the police saw the video that we saw today. When did they say that they didn't see it?
Today, they came out with
okay.
When they suspended Rice and said, we have never seen the video, the Ravens, they sent Harbaugh to a press conference tonight, and he said he had never seen the video until today.
Well, I believe Harbaugh might not have seen it.
Maybe not, but I mean, you got to think ownership has, right?
Well, you know, every team, and I'm sure the league office, every team has a security officer. I'm pretty sure some NFL employee saw it. I don't know. I don't think it was a lot because it was an ongoing investigation.
Then how could Goodell reasonably make any kind of decision if he didn't see the video?
Because he saw him drag her lifeless body out of the elevator.
But there was more video. If you're going to make a punishment,
well, again, he doesn't have to see it.
I was going to say he's not a big stickler for real evidence.
No, right. But even again, no one denied what happened. Everybody knew what happened. That he got knocked out by a physical blow.
I believe that he saw the video. It was reported that he saw the video. And not only that, when King reported, word came out that they saw the video, the NFL didn't come out and deny him and say, no, we didn't.
Right.
They just allowed it to go on.
Yeah. Again, I believe someone in the NFL saw it. I don't necessarily know if it was Roger Goodell. You know, if he says he never saw it.
The NFL said the NFL has never seen it. That's
well, yeah, that's bullshit.
The thing is, even if TMZ comes out with this, and by the time people hear this, we'll know.
Yeah.
The bottom line is you're never going to be able to prove whether Goodell saw it or not unless you have video of Goodell watching it, which would be like the Two Girls, One Cup instant reaction videos where you watch people who are watching. So.
But that's why I just think this is the one thing that could really lead to his fucking ouster.
I mean, you want to take bets on it. I don't think this leads to him going.
I do. I'll go ahead and say, yeah, I don't think he survives this.
All right, you want drinks at Shimmy Shack?
Sure. Go along with my meal. And first set of drinks.
All right, I'm in on that, too. Yeah, this ain't going to lead to that.
All right.
You said yes or no, Damon?
No, I'm agreeing with you, Jeff. This will not lead to his ouster.
All right.
So we're going to have to
go to
Shimmy
Shack.
Let's make
this one easy. If he's ousted, then we each buy Jason a beer at the Shimmy Shack or a bar. If he is not, we got to give a date by when.
Within the within the year.
By the end of 2014.
No, by the end of
the league year.
By the end of the league year. Is what after Super Bowl.
So what if he steps down the day after the Super Bowl?
Counts, bitch.
Then Jason loses. Oh, no, because that's league. No,
that's
league.
The league year.
That league year ends like in March or something.
Yeah, I think it's like March 31st is the last day of the league.
Okay. Or you buy us each a beer. All right.
I'll buy y'all each a half a beer.
There you go.
We can share a beer.
Yeah, there you go. Get one of those big gulps.
So we each are putting up. Basically, we're each putting up a beer in the pot.
Basically.
Okay. All right, let's move on to Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
Now. Unfortunately, because there is a Monday night doubleheader and there are two Monday night games tonight, our records are kind of incomplete at this point, but we still do have the numbers marked down so far. First week with the spread, and we actually had a tie. Indy and Denver, the spread was 7. Denver won by 7, so we're treating that as a push. We all lost Green Bay. Seattle looked pretty good. I was the only one who picked Cincinnati. I was a winner. And then Jeff and I took Oakland. Which who lost but covered the spread by half. Damon's got no wins on the board so far. And I guess, Jeff, you're going to track all of our listeners somehow.
Yeah. So last week we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 additional people play with us. Neil came in with 1-2-1 record. That's counting the push. He picked Seattle as his winner. Todd Bourgeois, at Todd Bourgeois, came in. I think Todd is most famous for his work on WWL, right? The Friday football highlights.
I don't know. Does he talk to Deke? Does he not call in to Deke?
I don't know. Call me. Tell me. So Todd came in 2-1-1 as well. He had the Cincinnati and Oakland covered.
He must have heard me on the podcast last week.
He probably must have.
He was there.
Adam tweeted in, frequent guest of the show. Adam was 1-2-1. He actually tweeted in, just give him all the home teams. So there's his strategy. Got him 1-2-1. Craig in Baltimore. We all know Craig, frequent tweeter. He came in 1-2-1 as well. The only game he won was Oakland.
Ooh, you know what? I wonder if we should try to get him on the show since he's in Baltimore, in the heart of the world.
Ooh, yeah,
on.
Craig. Tell us what you think, Craig, about
maybe,
Ray Rice. Tweet
maybe
us.
Next week. Tweet a little interview from the man on the street. See what
tweet
he can
us.
Find out.
Tweet us, tell us. I'm trying to get that out. All right, and then we had a new tweeter, James Fitzpatrick, not Pat Fitzjameswick. James Fitzpatrick came in 2-1-1. He picked Seattle and Oakland on that one. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put the standings up on the website, domepatrolpodcast.com. It'll be on the right side of the website each week. We'll update those. And
whoever wins, Jeff and Damon will buy them a beer at the Shimmy Shack.
No, we won't. I'll probably create maybe like an online survey deal, like a Google survey or something, for whenever it's time to make picks each week, and then people can just log in and... No, you know what? No, I kind of like the Twitter version, because...
All right, do it.
We'll tweet it out, and then they can tweet us back.
There you go.
So that's how you'll pick. All right, go ahead.
All right, set of games this week, week two. Vegas still... doesn't quite know who's really bad, who's really good. It's just 1 week of action. But our first game, the Detroit Lions currently beating the Giants right now, 27-14 in the fourth quarter, are at the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are favored by 3. I guess Cam Newton's going to play this week. He didn't play last week. Surprisingly, they won with Derek Anderson down in Tampa. Now, Derek Anderson's a pretty fucking bad quarterback. That was a... slop shit fest of a game, especially coming off the offensive performance in the Saints game.
So Carolina is favored by 3, huh?
At home against Detroit.
Okay.
Two light blue teams. Anybody want to go first? Y'all want me to go first?
Yeah,
you go first, Jason.
All right. I will go with Detroit, the Lions. I just think they have too much talent. And if Newton takes a hit to the ribs.
What's the spread?
Carolina favored by 3.
At home, huh?
At home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take Detroit as well. Even if Carolina won this game, Detroit's going to keep it close.
Yeah, I agree. Detroit's, like I said, they're New Orleans North.
Yeah.
They're trying to
you take... said that. I didn't say that.
So I'll go with them.
Whatever. All right. So instead of a Monday night, we'll go Thursday night then. How about that? Y'all want that?
That's fine.
Y'all like that?
Yeah.
The aforementioned Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now I got to go find what the spread is.
Just make it up.
I thought it was 3. Fuckhead.
No one would know.
Surprise. No, you know what? I bet people would know, surprisingly. Pittsburgh is at... I'm sorry. So let me scratch that. So I'll swap it up. This game is Pittsburgh at Baltimore. The Ravens favored by 3. Divisional game. Pittsburgh coming off close win against Cleveland. Baltimore coming off a loss at home against the Bungles. I'll go first. I am going to go... I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'll grab the points and not the... firestorm that is the Ray Rice situation.
I kind of agree with that. I like Pittsburgh. You know, maybe it's going to be a little distraction in the Baltimore locker room this week.
Pittsburgh, who? What's the spread now? Baltimore by?
Baltimore's actually favored by 3 at home.
Which means you're giving Baltimore.
You're giving Pittsburgh 3 points.
I'm giving Pittsburgh 3 points. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on that one, too.
I thought adding point spreads would change up the picks, but not doing it yet. all right, our next game. Seattle coming off dominating performance against Green Bay at San Diego, who we have not yet seen. San Diego is getting 5.5 points.
I'll go first.
I'll take Seattle.
That's what I was going to do.
Till proven otherwise from now on, I'll take Seattle.
It's pretty. Yeah, I hate to do it, but I mean, I got to pick them to win.
Oh, good. I'll go San Diego.
All right.
Yep. May as well keep separating myself from you guys.
This is one I hope you do.
Good. Our next game, I believe it's the Sunday night game. The Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers. Bears coming off a loss at home against Buffalo. Knock me out my fucking suicide pool. It's like that. Week one done. Like 20% of the entrants all at Chicago.
What is this one?
Chicago at San Francisco at their new Cyberdyne Systems Field. San Francisco is favored by 7.
Wow.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. I mean, look, San Francisco did beat Dallas.
Right, and they'd have beat him even uglier, but they kind of took their foot off the pedal, it seems, in the second half.
I mean, playing against Chicago,
Chicago lost in overtime at Buffalo. Home to Buffalo.
Did y'all see San Francisco's game this week?
No, I didn't see any of it.
I saw part of it.
The red in that stadium, in Dallas Stadium, was embarrassing. I have to say a third to 30 to 40% of the fans there were San Francisco fans wearing their jerseys.
I thought that was America's team, though.
Right.
I'm gonna take San Francisco, even though they're giving up 7 here.
I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna go with Chicago. I just think 7 points is too many points to give a team who I think's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jason. Yeah, 7 points a lot.
Okay.
That's a lot.
This is where I separate myself.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. The fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
2-0-1 teams, so it's a good start for a shitty pick. Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Washington Redskins. Washington is home. They're favored by 5.5 points. They lost on the road at Houston, low-scoring game. Jacksonville grabbed an early lead against Philly, and that was looking like quite the shocker, but then Philly stormed back and scored the next 34 points.
These are shitty fucking teams.
Yeah.
I mean...
Not good.
Yeah. I mean,
Jacksonville's still going with Henny. They're not letting Bortles play yet.
Yeah, goddamn. I mean, they blew a 17-point lead.
And look, they're going to have that whatever receiver his name is, Hearns, the receiver, 2 touchdowns. He's going to be the number one wire waiver pickup this week.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville only because I like 5.5 points. I don't think Washington can beat anybody by 5.5 points.
Yeah, I mean,
Washington's that shitty. They can't beat anybody by 5. That's just dumb.
I'm going to. So far, they can't beat anybody. Period.
They do currently own the longest losing streak in the NFL at 9 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Redskins?
Yes. 9-game losing streak. The Texans had it, and the Texans beat them.
I think. What a way to end it. He hand it off to you. I'm going to go with Jacksonville here as well, but for a different reason. Well, same reason. I mean, 5.5 points. But I think it's the reason is that the net point differential... Remember that?
That got
me to win last year. Washington is minus 11. Jacksonville is minus 17. That's a 6-point differential, so I'm going to go with it's close enough to the 5.5. I don't think Washington wins this game by 5 points. I think they'll win. I think it's going to be
one. None of that makes any sense.
No, it really didn't.
Or any reason to make me go one way or the other. That's just gobbledygook. I mean,
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I'm going to go with Washington. It's probably a mistake, but...
Jason's playing to win.
I got to do something. I finished last year, and that didn't work. Whatever I did last year did not work.
Might be overcompensating here, making some really bold picks.
No, I mean, I just think it's just... I know 5.5 seems like a lot, but I'll take, you know, one touchdown difference, two mediocre teams, anything can happen. Of course, you could say that if I was... I could say that if I was picking Jackson, too, but...
Yeah, you use the opposite logic to pick Chicago.
I've been talking with you for too long.
All right, so there's Pick'ems. I'm going to post the games out to Twitter after we hang up with the show. Other than that, let's move forward in the podcast to Saints Preview. This week we travel to Cleveland. I doubt we're going to see Johnny Football on the field, nor will we see any members of the Dome Patrol podcast at the in the stadium or at the NFL Hall of Fame, thanks to Damon and the wedding. Are you still in that wedding, or was it canceled?
No, it was canceled. Yes, of course I am. No, I'm joking. Of course I am.
That's awesome. All right, so what... The risk of knowing the answer, what do the Saints need to do to win this game?
Continue to move the ball on offense. The Browns have a decent defense, and they got behind really early to Pittsburgh, but came back. Tie the game at some point, then lose by 3, so Hoyer played pretty well, and they came back. The defense just has to show up. I mean, Cleveland is not a good offense.
Exactly.
Not a good defense
has to get on the plane. And and kill up.
Seems simple as that. I mean,
right.
They got a good corner, Joe Hayden. See who he matches up against, if he's on Cooks or Colston. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, and like you said, Hoyer isn't Matt Ryan. Again, we make fun of Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is that second tier quarterback. You know, Hoyer's not even in the third tier, in my opinion. So that should help the defense tremendously. As Jeff packs to go to Cleveland next week.
Yeah, tell us.
So,
I mean, obviously, they're going to be stressful in tackling in practice this week.
Right.
And that was just an unbelievably terrible performance.
Very terrible in tackling and angles and everything else. So, definitely see a bounce back. Definitely seeing Peyton using this as a... a crisis to get everybody's head straight. So I'm excited. You know, I can't wait to Sunday. I wish they'd play. You know, with Herb and get here so I can get this bad taste of it.
You just want to binge watch it like you do Breaking Bad.
Right, right. So I can get this bad taste out of my mouth from the Atlanta game.
And that's the problem too with the loss. It's like I don't feel like reading,
doing
anything football related for at least like a day or two.
Exactly.
Like I don't want to watch anything. I don't want to listen to anything.
Right.
I don't want to read anything.
Right. Like I said, after that game, I sat down, Dallas, well, I have Sunday ticket. I kind of put Dallas San Francisco on for a little bit and said, oh, fuck, I don't want. And I did binge watch Breaking Bad. I really did. I turned a little bit on the Indianapolis and Denver that night, tried to watch that, just wasn't into it, didn't watch any of the recap shows. So,
yeah. But yeah, just, you know, move forward. I mean, all the reaction from the team, they seem to acknowledge that, you know, that lost as a team, they all know they're better than that. They seem to be taking it the right way. And let's just hope to God this is an anomaly and not a trend.
Well, exactly. I don't think it's 2012. Right. Well, I would say 2007 when we went 0-4, you know.
We went 0-4 and 12.
Yeah, you know? but Peyton wasn't.
Well, yeah, we had, but still.
You know, well, no, that's a big difference. You know, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a trend. Let's move on. Again, for all we know, we can be 15-1 17 weeks from now. So, 16 weeks from now. Having home field advantage, so... Move on, beat who you're supposed to beat, and then let's get back in the dome.
Yeah, under Sean Payton, the Saints do bounce back pretty well after losses, and you know we've talked about it a lot on this show, the crisis concept, and they got their crisis early. This one should carry us through at least up until the bye week.
Right, then we have to lay another stinker out there. And, you know, they do usually play one or two games like this a year, where it's just, it's atrocious. Now, I mean, this was pretty terrible. It's a game like this, we give it away, just feels, it's a win we should have had and we lost.
Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now.
I was thinking the same thing.
this just happened to be the Atlanta game this year.
Well, they, you know, and Jason, I've said that to a couple people today, too. Maybe y'all might have been one of them. But, yeah, right, we always... give away a game that we should, you know, Cleveland, St. Louis, we'd love to lose to those losers.
Not next week.
We're not playing them.
Right, we're not playing
Cleveland. You said Cleveland.
Well, no, I did say Cleveland. Yeah, right, we lost to Cleveland when Scott Fujita was there. Yeah. So, right, so if that game's to Atlanta and we don't do it again, it's just, let's move on. Let's the game begin. Yeah.
Not let this derail... you know, the plans we have. Move forward and play your game. Play solid. Oh, man, I'm ready. Like you, I'm ready for Sunday already.
And that's the thing with it, you know, last week. Man, I was pumped up, you know, reading all the stuff online. 23% of the ESPN announcers had picked us to win the Super Bowl, and 80% picked Brandon Cooks to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and, you know, and, oh, yeah, football has been 9 months, I'm excited, I can't wait. Yeah, what the fuck? You know? Then someone shits in my cereal.
Yeah. So do you... Now, Jean-Baptiste was inactive last week. You think he suits up this week?
Yes, has to. Has to. Again, like we said earlier, only had... I don't know why we only had four corners.
We thought P. Rob wasn't shit.
Yeah, I mean, P. Rob is shit. Corey White is shit. We are fucked. I forget who picked up Bailey, but Sean Payton might be.
Oh, somebody picked him up?
Yeah.
Well, I thought he worked out with somebody. I didn't think anybody signed him.
I thought they had signed him.
Oh, okay. Well, he worked out with Detroit.
Okay. Oh, well, he ain't in Detroit now.
Yeah, that'd be, I don't know, it's... Seems like we thought that could be the leaky position.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. No one had picked Champ Bailey up. Call Champ Bailey fucking ass back.
Uh-huh. We might. Can we trade for a cornerback?
We could. Who you trade?
Probably have to trade either, like, Ingram or Robinson.
I'll trade Robinson.
And that would fetch him.
Yeah. Anybody.
You know, fetch anybody that's halfway decent.
So the Saints worked out a couple of running backs and some tight ends today, but no cornerbacks.
We really need those other positions.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the fuck they were looking for. Yeah, P-Rob.
Maybe the tight end Michael Agnew could play better cornerback than P-Rob.
Perhaps. Well, that just shows what a devastating loss it was to lose Jabari Greer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what, it still would not shock me to see him as... play at some point in the Saints uniform.
Yeah, but it's just so hard. I mean, he got hurt late in the season. I think it was November. Even if he would come back.
I mean, it wouldn't be until second half of the season.
But that still put him at under.
I would put him at around 11, 12 months.
Yeah, I don't know.
But these guys are coming back at 7 months now.
Yeah, but he's older, too, don't forget. You know,
He is.
It's not like a 19-year-old Blaine.
No, right. We've discussed this. At the very least, they'll bring him in for a workout. Yeah. At the very least.
I do have a couple of tweets to read from the Twitter thing. So we know Fuck the Falcons went to the game, right?
He's flying back from he had a layover in Dallas. So he's currently flying back to Seattle from Dallas.
Right. Well, he tweeted from the plane, because you know you can use the internet on planes nowadays. He tweeted, someone just shit
which
horrendous.
Is, which is so funny considering that you couldn't use the internet at the Montague House for so long. But you can at 40,000 feet in the air.
All right, he tweeted, someone just shit horrendously on this plane. And then,
that's uncalled for.
Did he tweet it at the Home Patrol PCast?
No. And then Black and Gold Review tweeted, if they put up a statue of, quote, New Orleans hero Roger Goodell, we could all go tear it down when he gets fired.
That's funny.
Well, then let's give a score prediction.
Okay.
At Cleveland.
So score predictions for Saints-Cleveland game?
I'll go first. We're going to put up our first 40 burger of the year. I'm going to call it 45
Jesus.
To 27.
Wow. I am going to go with 27-21. I think it's going to be closer than we'd like it to be. I'd like to think otherwise, but it's still on the road. It's outdoors. So I'm just going with 27 points. That's it.
All right. I will say 38-27. There you go.
All right. There you go. Final thoughts. I did have one final thought.
Oh, I forgot about the final thoughts. That's right.
Yeah, final thoughts. Not related to Saints, but did y'all see the Icky Woods commercial this weekend?
Yes, I did.
The cold cuts? That's one of the funniest commercials I've seen in a while.
No, I didn't, but I'm going to YouTube them.
It was fantastic. Haven't seen, I mean, can't remember the last, I mean, Icky Woods was probably out of the league by 93, 94 maybe?
Oh, 91 I want to say probably.
The Icky Shuffle.
Right. That was
great. He definitely put on some weight.
Yeah.
But I love the way it was staged and the way he did it. It was a good commercial.
Was it a Geico commercial?
It was a Geico. Okay. Enjoyed it considerably.
Here's my final thought, and it's a couple of weeks late because I think it happened last week, and we didn't get to it. Last week, James Harrison, we all know the former linebacker from the Pittsburgh Steelers, played his final year in Cincinnati. He's probably best known for returning the interception for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Anyway, yeah. Last week on Twitter, he announced his retirement from the NFL, saying, and I quote, "My love of my family and the desire to be there for them outweighs my love of the game." Now, when the season starts in 6 days and you're not on an NFL roster and haven't been since the end of last year, you're not retiring. Nobody wants you. Okay? Look, let me do this. Look, I'd like to announce, you had a birthday recently, and I'd like to announce that of my retirement from the NFL. I will no longer be seeking employment from the NFL. That's me personally. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was funny, and he's not the first one to do it, but there's always one athlete every year, probably in every sport, who does it, who announces their retirement, you know, after.
Oh, but you know, look, it's hard to walk away from a game.
Oh, it is, but again, do you have to say you're retired?
Well,
trust me, this morning, if someone calls him and they need a linebacker, he's going to unretire.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, I just find it funny that they announced their retirement. But,
a lot of ego with these guys. You know?
Right, that, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm being harsh. Call me, tell me, let me know.
All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook by searching for Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. Hopefully this show has been therapeutic for you, got you over the devastation of last week's game, and has us all looking forward to next week's game. If you don't listen to us on iTunes, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, undefeated season, donkeys.
Aww.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
I can hear you now.
All right. Hit it on mute.
Oh, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Tend to do that.
Me too.
Do you get your voice back?
No, not really. Not really at all, actually. It still hurts to talk.
Wow. 3 days later.
Yeah. To be fair, though, me and Garrett started screaming on Saturday. So Sunday just made it worse.
If you want to talk about the game at all, if you want to skip that, just talk about the weekend experience.
Well, the whole weekend, and that was probably my favorite part about it, was just meeting so many different people. Like you know, just like I tweeted yesterday, that it's amazing to me that, you know, we really don't have anything in common. Well, we only have one common interest, you know, and just strangers over 140 characters at a time that, like, me and some people there became actual friends, you know, like real-life friends.
Just awesome the way that stuff like that can work these days.
Right, right. I mean, the world is so small.
It's crazy. That's what I like about road trips, too, because just you may go with a group of people, but then you really don't know anybody, but when you see Saints fans, you're just going to go up to them and
right,
chat.
Right. I mean, right. Especially, yeah, you're already automatically almost friends, and then 30 seconds later, you're friends, whereas, you know, you talk to a guy at Walmart for 5 minutes, and you don't need to screw that guy. Go away, man.
So when did you get there?
I got there Saturday afternoon, early evening, I guess, like 5 o'clock or so.
Okay.
5 or 6 o'clock, yeah. And we went straight to the hotel bar, and then that's a couple people already there. Garrett was already there, a couple other people, probably 8 people or so.
Okay.
And then we kind of just hung out, really, all night.
A lot of Saints people in that hotel?
Yes, yes. It felt like I was on the way to the Dome. We seemed like maybe 3 Falcons fans.
Wow.
At the hotel. I mean, I guess, but to be fair, it's Atlanta. How many Falcons fans do you expect to find in Atlanta?
Right, good point.
At the hotel.
Right, right. They tend not to make weekends of football games.
Right.
Or even Sundays.
Yeah, 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 at least not till the second quarter. But yeah, there was a lot of Saints fans. It seemed like everybody we seen at that hotel was a Saints fan. And half the people that work at, like, hotels and stuff like that seem to be Saints fans.
Fucking shit Atlanta for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of shit you would never, ever see in New Orleans.
Right.
I couldn't imagine, like, a Falcons fan just living there. Well, hey, what's up?
So how late did y'all stay up Saturday night?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't remember time. You're asking a lot there.
Okay. All right.
You're asking an awful lot for time. So I remember thinking it was really late, but it not being nowhere near as late as I thought, though.
I just know, like, the couple of road games I go to, I go into it thinking, all right, I'm not gonna stay out too late Saturday because the game's Sunday, and it just never happens. I'm always up too late. I drink too much. Wake up feeling like shit the next morning.
Oh, right, right. Well, as having my superpower of the no hangovers, I don't really have to worry about that. But yes. I guess, you know, I should have been thoughtful of that, I guess, with the other people, because, you know, they probably get hangovers. But
Okay.
One of the things I've thought about, though, is I think this is the first time that I've thought about this in whole afterwards, and I was kind of just, that's on Saturday night, we ended up staying up really, really late, now that I think about it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what time it was, but I remember we were at an underground bar, and it was actually underground.
Huh.
Dominic had his visit to Claremont.
What's the Claremont?
It's like the retirement home for the strippers, where they still work.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about you got a lap dance from a 60-year-old?
I did not. No. No, Mike did not.
Somebody did.
Yes.
Somebody did.
Let's go with that. It was not Mike. It was terrible, though. It's like the female version of Bill Maher was there. The lady was just terrible looking, she looked exactly like Bill Maher.
Wow.
It was... the one lady wanted to fight Garrett because he asked her. He's like, "Hey, seriously, is this a joke?" And the lady got mad. Like, "No, this is art."
Oh my god!
I don't know about art. It's
probably. I'm gonna go ahead and scratch the art designation.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold, though. It was worth the price of admission because it was free to get in.
Wow, that's late Saturday night.
That was late Saturday night. I don't know what time. I think we must have got there pretty early because there weren't many left. It was pretty packed.
Wow.
Started walking to some three-lettered club. I don't remember what it was. And left there, we went to the Waffle House, and that's where we get a hoot at chant at the Waffle House.
There you go. Well, I guess anyway, all right, so you get up Sunday morning, and the hotel bar open up Sunday morning or no?
No, the whole city of Atlanta does not serve liquor before 12:30. Yeah.
Oh, God.
We didn't know that. So we went to the hotel bar, and they were like, nope. So we left. So then we went to it's a place that's, like, right outside. It's kind of like their oh, Jesus Christ, it's been so long since I've been home. I can't remember the name of the place where we hang out before. The bar, like you tailgate at. But anyway, they have a bar like that. And even they didn't serve liquor.
Jeez.
So, but somebody said that they did – on the dome premises, so we went straight to the dome, and we ended up inside the dome like 2 hours early, I think.
Okay.
yeah, because outside all they had was beer, and it wasn't very good. It was terrible Atlanta beer.
Right.
So we went inside.
Well, I saw you were stepping on somebody's shit. Was that before the game or after?
that was after the game. You saw all three pictures of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was me being mad after the game. It was a dick move, but they were screaming weed at. I don't know what else to do. There's nothing. There's no rebuttal to weed at when we screamed hoot at, 40,000 times a piece for the previous 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least you didn't punch anybody or.
It really wasn't from a lack of trying. Like, I really wasn't, like, trying to fight anybody, because I was just there to have a good time. But there was, no holds barred.
Okay.
Especially with Garrett. He's just as dumb as I am.
Right. it's enough having to deal with one of you at the game, much less two.
Right. Yeah. Same guy.
So, guys, so y'all had to sit in that fucking circus tent for 5-6 hours?
Yeah, it was a good 5 hours. You know what? Here's something I didn't know about going into that place. I don't know. Have you ever been there?
No, never
okay.
been there.
Here's something I didn't know. And Dominic, at Angry Hoodad on Twitter, he's been there a couple of times or once before, whatever it was, but he said about how bad the roof is, the circus tent, that when a cloud passes over, it actually gets overcast inside. And, I thought he was just making a joke or whatever, but we got in the game, and right around halftime, a cloud passed over, and it got pretty dark in there.
God.
It was bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah. So I quit calling it a dome at that point, and it's not a dome. It's a field with a sheet over it.
Right. A field with a tent. That's it.
Yeah. It's not a dome. A dome is an arena with a roof.
Wow.
It's not a roof.
Wow. Oh my God. Fucking. Well, it looks better than see the rendition of the new stadium when they showed it, computer modeling of how it. It'll close the roof. It really looks like a metal robot's asshole is tightening.
I didn't see that. They have started building it. I didn't know that. I thought this was still just in the talks.
No, they started building it. It's going to open, I don't know, a couple years, I guess.
Right.
They showed on one of the Hard Knocks episodes, they showed a blank staring at the rendering of it. And they showed it. It was. So now we can call it the tin asshole.
Yeah. What the one that they have there is not even finished. You know, like when you get to the top, there's like big pieces of plywood that are painted black all the way around where the sheet meets the top row. So we kept asking all the fans. Me and Garrett started asking a bunch of people. You know, why are you guys building another one if you're not even finished with this one? And then we realized it's just there's just too much depression in that one. They gotta like bury it. You remember when the Saints had that thing where they like buried the previous season or something?
Yeah, had a little
Drew wedding or whatever. Funeral.
Yeah.
Same thing. This is gonna cost them $1 billion.
Yeah, right. Good job, Atlanta taxpayers. Have fun.
Yeah. Ours cost us, 2 minutes of our life we'll never get back.
So they were selling inside right when y'all got in?
Yeah, from the minute we got there, we walked straight in line.
Okay, how much are drinks?
Beer was $7. I don't remember how much drinks were.
Wow, so beer is more expensive at our dome by like a couple bucks more. So I want to say it's up to $9 or $9.50 here.
Yeah, but that's for the cups. The cups of beer are $9.50, right? The bottles aren't.
No, the aluminum 16-ounce bottles.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, either $9 or $9.50.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, then they're $2.50 more then, because they were $7 for beer, the bottles.
Huh. That might be the only good thing they got.
It looked like they had some pretty good nachos, and tradition says I'm supposed to eat nachos, but I didn't eat any there. I wasn't trying to give them any money other than liquor. And the lines were really long. There must not be very many concession stands in there. There was everywhere had a really long line once the game started.
Of course. I mean, yeah, we're going to a place that doesn't even sell liquor on Sundays before 12:30.
True.
So I guess talk about the game experience. Obviously, we went up early and it was looking good.
Yeah. Our mouths started writing checks our ass couldn't cash, that's for sure. I mean, I'm sure you saw the pictures I was tweeting, just all the struggle faces and the struggle section, and the one dude was reading a book, and you could hear a pin drop in that place other than, the Saints fans. And then we thought we still had the game, the feeling inside from the people, because we kind of owned one section. Section 301 was ours, and I just kept running down and running back up the other side and hanging out with probably 5 or 6, maybe 10 people on one side, and then there was probably 10 of us on the other side. But the feeling, to me, it kind of felt like we had the game in hand until they kicked that field goal right before halftime. And that's when you knew that game was going to become a typical Saints fan, a typical Saints game.
Yeah, especially with them getting the ball back and just,
right.
Just two big plays, boom, boom, field goal, like it was nothing.
Yeah, it really was. Just the defense was just not there. It's not what we were, led to believe we were going to have.
No, and we talked about it earlier on the show, just about – plus you also had, 6 months of built-in anticipation.
Right.
This game and then all the – everybody talking about Saints being Super Bowl contenders and buying in and just, getting sucked into the feeling like, we're unstoppable.
Right. And everybody's talking now, we got to get rid of P-Rob and Corey White. And I'm still fine with those guys. First off, who are you going to get better off the street at this time of year? But – I'm okay with those guys. I think they'll be fine. I saw some stat the other day where the Saints played their base defense on 2 plays the whole game.
Wow.
So I think they just got outcoached on defense. For whatever reason, they thought that if they played 3 safeties the whole game with Vaccaro basically playing a linebacker that, they were going to be able to do some things that they just couldn't do. I don't think they thought Julio Jones was going to get that open across the middle or in the slot. I don't think that they thought their running backs were going to catch all those passes. Whatever it was, is they had a game plan and they stuck to it. And as hard as it is to say that it worked for the most part. Cause I mean, every time they scored, we scored, just whoever had the ball last won. If Colson doesn't fumble, we're not talking about any of that.
Oh yeah. You're right. I had full confidence that we were going to drive the ball down the field and score without question.
Absolutely. Yeah. We weren't going to kick a field goal. We were going to score a touchdown in overtime. It's just, that was just the game we were playing, Our offense was playing even better than theirs, and people want to throw the stats of Matt Ryan at me. I don't care about that. I don't care about the stats. I'm pretty sure that if you add I guess that's not true either. I was going to say if you add all of our offensive yards, I think ours was greater, but I think they had like 150 more yards than us or something.
Yeah, they had a lot, and the safeties were just playing so damn deep.
Yeah. The two were playing deep, and Vaccaro played the line so much that. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking there.
Yeah, just kind of a little brain fart.
Right. Like I say, whatever it is, they thought they had a scheme that was going to work. And, probably 10 out of 12 games, if they do something like that, at the end of the game, we'll be like, and that's why they did it and it worked. But this just one time, they stuck to it and, you know, it burned them in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, complaining about Colston's game, too. I just watched the replay tonight, maybe an hour ago, 2 hours ago, whatever, and he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, I mean, he really did.
Yeah, he's the GOAT of overtime. He had the one drop on first down, the fumble on second, but take that away, man. He had a fantastic – we're not even in that game, I don't think, without him. Him and Pierre Thomas, of all people.
You know, yeah, just crazy. And
I couldn't be more impressed with Cooks.
Granted, I've loved him, but even he played – even he had a better game than I thought he was going to have.
Yeah. First time out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Right now, he's Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Right.
If everybody else can make all these retarded first week one assumptions, I'm making one too. Brandon Cooks is Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't – yeah, I can't pin it on anybody on the offense, really.
No, not at all. And like I say about defense, I'm not worried about the personnel. I don't think they'll get out-coached again. And – you know, they're professionals, but they're all saying the right stuff. You know, Junior Gallette saying it was on the defense, you know, personally saying that. I think he really owns that captaincy, and I think they'll get it right. There's a really good bounce-back week in Cleveland this week. I think, you know, the ship will be right and we'll be fine.
Yeah, I hope so.
At the end of the week, you know, this time next week we'll be talking about, they're the Saints. We expect them to be 1-1, beat the brakes off Atlanta and shit the bed in Cleveland. It just went the other way around. No big deal. We was never gonna go 16-0.
Right, as much as we might have wanted.
Yeah, yeah. And 6 weeks from now, when we're 4-2 and they're 2-4, everything's good with the world.
Yeah.
Because they're not a very good team. That was their Super Bowl, and you can tell after the game that was their Super Bowl. You know, how many times have we walked out of the dome after the Falcons game and we just beat the brakes off of them, and you try to give their fans shit and they always say the exact same thing. I don't care. I don't even like that team, punk ass team. We knew they was gonna lose. But you let them beat us, and all of a sudden you got 30,000 fans screaming, "We that."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, by the way. Walk out of that stadium.
Walk out of that?
Yeah. That's the hardest thing I've ever done.
I know, like, you know, because I think I'm 2-2 in road games, so I know what it's like to, and especially the one game down in Tampa where we just got bludgeoned. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just sucks.
I'm 0-3 or 0-4?
Oh, gee. God damn.
Yeah, I've never seen them win on the road. I've seen them lose at the Meadowlands, Baltimore, FedEx, and now here in Atlanta.
Wow. Yeah, I watched them lose in Baltimore and then lose in Tampa.
Yeah, and then, truth be told, I should have seen them lose twice now here in Seattle, or three times here in Seattle. I'm not dumb enough to go there because their fans are, you know, really, really not used to winning, so they're just ignorant when they lose, and I don't want no part of that.
No.
Yeah.
So, God, yeah, that must have been. I mean, I know how I felt after the game, just frustrated, upset at first, and then just kind of depressed. And like, now we got to listen to these fucking clowns,
right? Because they don't care about nothing in their season right now matters until December 21st. You know, if we meet them in December 21st and they're 1-9 or whatever week that is, and we're 9-1, they don't care. We beat y'all last time. We beat y'all last time. We beat y'all last time. That's all you're gonna hear. You know, it's like it's a good old typical LSU Tulane rivalry when they both suck. You know, as long as you beat Tulane,
yeah,
successful season.
So what did y'all do after the game?
We took the longest walk in the history of the world back to the hotel bar, and we just sat there and drank, and sat there and drank, and sat there and drank.
Only thing you could do, really.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I'm glad I got to do that, because when we sat there, that's when I really got to take in the experience of the weekend. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody that was there said it best, that, you know, a year from now when I look back, I'm not even going to think about this game. I'm going to remember the experience that I had there and just all the new friends and, like, honest friends that I've got now, you know, like people that I can call and just talk to and hang out with, and the people that we hung out with there. And I mean, it sounds so corny to say it over and over, but that's really my favorite part of the whole weekend, was just meeting 100 new strangers that were friends now. You know,
yeah,
we all stayed at the same room. We all hung out the whole time together, stuff like that. Not the same room, the same hotel. And we had, you know, rooms around and all that and stuff. We were together the whole time.
Yeah, that's the best part. And even though it sucks to lose, you know, when you're on the road, just if people out there who haven't been to a road game, definitely try to go, because it's just such a cool and different experience.
It really is. Like, it, I hate to say it, but it was almost more fun than going to a game in the Dome. The pre-gaming, like actually pre-gaming at the Dome is better, but the experience overall with hanging out with, you know, 10, 15 people, that to me was better.
Plus, you also get the feeling like, oh, I'm kind of on vacation. You don't have to worry about anything else back home.
Right, and you got an extra hour to drink before the game.
Ah, that's true. 1 o'clock kickoff.
Right, yep. 1 o'clock kickoff.
You need that extra hour after the fucking Saturday night.
I really, really, really want to have this conversation again one day with me telling you what it feels like to win in a road game.
Well, it's going to happen at some point.
Right. I mean, I can't keep going to losers, right?
Right.
I mean, odds are if you're a betting man, the next one we're going to win.
Right.
If not, I will never go again. We'll never have this conversation ever.
Right, right. Nope, that's a ban.
That's it. Yeah, it's me. I can't do it.
You passed your threshold without getting a win. That's it. You cut off.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording.
This is side two. If you want to play the record from the beginning, please turn over. Do not play this side if you want side one. This is side two.